in and for the Seventh Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near, give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument, Lee versus Gonzalez. Here from Mr. Yam. You there?
Speak.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good morning, Your Honor. Thank you, first of all, for allowing me to appear telephonically. I have the attorney for the petitioner with my name.
Could you speak louder, Mr. Yam?
Yes, Your Honor. Basically, I have three points to bring to attention, Your Honor. And the first point is whether the petitioner has met a verdict that she qualifies for asylum based on the theory of persecution that she attended China. The second part I would like to address is IJ's credibility findings, noting that IJ nor the CIA checked for the immigration appeals, made a ruling on the credibility that they missed her for not having proof of further proof to qualify for asylum. And the third one I'd like to address is that she qualifies for a petition for mentioning however, that she was roused by the CIA and the judge, and the commission judge, and counsel to make any evaluation of that claim. I'd like to start off first with credibility issues. Basically, the first issue that he pointed out on credibility was the date that the petitioner stated she was arrested. Basically, she stated it took place on August 10th, 2000, and the letter was submitted by the pastor stated that the arrest took place on August 17th, 2000. Basically, it's 10 days, and the second thing is based on the duration of detained. Basically, the petitioner stated she was detained for 1 week, and the pastor
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Yam. Ms. Sarko?
May it please the court. I'm going to present this as two issues in the case. The first issue is whether there is substantial evidence to support the determination that Ms. Lee failed to meet her burden of proof to establish eligibility for asylum, withholding, and CAT protection. And to that extent, whether Lee failed to provide direct and specific evidence to establish that she suffered past persecution or well-founded fear of future persecution on account of her religious beliefs.
What did the board mean when it said the respondent's claim for relief fails not so much on a lack of credibility but on her failure to meet her burden of proof that she was persecuted on account of her religious beliefs in China? What does that mean?
I think what the board was saying there was that it's not that she was necessarily inherently incredible. Rather, it was that because there were inconsistencies in the record, there were omissions in the statement that was provided by Mr. Lin, and her original asylum application was somewhat vague, that all of these things brought into question her testimony, which was the more specific.
I understand. The board seems to be rejecting a challenge to credibility and suggesting, nevertheless, she had failed to prove that she was persecuted. If you believed everything she said, wouldn't that add up to persecution?
I don't think the board was saying that it believed everything she said.
Well, why does it make clear what it's talking about then?
Well, I think the board
so
was
difficult. Why do they say that? Why do they say that it's not so much her credibility?
If I can explain, as I was saying, it's not that she was inherently incredible. It was that when you have the burden of proof.
What does inherently incredible mean?
Well, that her story was implausible, for example.
Well, if it wasn't implausible, then it's plausible, right? So
No, there is a difference. The difference is that if you have the burden of proof, if there are inconsistencies or omissions in the testimony, it draws into question that. If you have the burden, you have to show by 51% that what you're putting forth is credible, is believable, is specific. You have the burden of proof and persuasion. Now, there's a difference between...
I understand that. You either believe the person or you don't. If you believe the person, she's carried her burden of proof. You don't believe her, she hasn't.
No, there's a difference because you can believe parts of the testimony or you can not believe the whole testimony.
Well, what parts did the board believe?
Okay, the board, I think... believe that she was Christian, that she was a Christian in China. It, along with the immigration judge, had problems with the specific testimony because there were contradictions.
Did the board believe that she joined this illegal Christian church?
I think that the board and the immigration judge felt that she had not proven the specifics that she had joined the church.
You're not answering my question.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Okay, could you restate it, please?
And it's a yes or no answer. Did the board believe that she had joined an illegal Christian church?
I believe that the board said that she had
it's
not
yes
proven...
It's a yes or no question. It's
no.
A yes or no.
No.
No, they didn't believe it. Where did they say they did not believe she belonged to an illegal Christian church?
Okay. As I said...
that stated by the immigration judge or by the board?
The immigration judge found the immigration judge believed that she was a Christian and she had proven that. Did not accept the rest of her testimony regarding...
Where did the immigration judge say he doesn't believe she belonged to an illegal Christian church? That's, of course, different from the question whether she was beaten.
Right. No, I understand. Let me go back and take a look.
Page 4 of your brief indicates that she began attending a church that was not sanctioned by the government of China, citing AR 76 and 78.
I think that was her testimony.
Well, you're citing it as if it's That's true in your brief.
Okay, on page 48 of the transcript, of the immigration judge's decision, the judge says that he finds the respondent is a Christian. However, it's the other aspect of this claim which the judge is unable as well as unwilling to accept the reasons previously stated. So I think that the...
Was some evidence presented that it's that it's a legal church? I mean, what about this letter from her pal?
Mm-hmm. I think that the immigration judge and the board had problems accepting the letter because it contradicted her testimony or omitted specific details that she testified to. And I would point out that in the letter at page 158,
in his letter he said, for example, in the evening of August 17, 2000, some people broke into my house during our gathering. They told us that they were there from local public security and came to stop our gathering. Now, did the immigration judge or the board disbelieve that statement?
I think the immigration judge and the board cannot accept the whole content of the letter because they were...
Yes, I know, but this particular statement, is this one of the statements the immigration judge didn't believe?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Where do you see that?
Again, I would go back to page 48 of the immigration judge's decision, where it found that she could accept it. Ms. Lee was a Christian, but was unable to accept the other aspects of the claim. And I would point out that at the bottom of this letter, Mr. Lin says that he's been in telephone contact with the petitioner after she left China. And so it was, since it was her burden to put forward proof, she could have asked him for a more detailed letter to talk about what happened to them while they were detained, if they were.
If you look at the structure of his opinion, after he says it's the other aspects that he doesn't believe, the only thing he discusses is her, you know, relation with the snakeheads and having tried to get out of China before this incident. He doesn't say anything to suggest that he disbelieves that she belonged to an illegal church.
Well, even if... Okay, first I disagree with you for the reasons I previously pointed out at page 48, but even if they believe that she belonged to this church...
What contradicts your evidence? I just read from your brief where you stated she belonged to an unauthorized church. What evidence is there submitted to contradict that?
Again, I would have to go back and look at the... I think... I didn't write the brief myself, but I think that was probably in the setting out the testimony part.
It was her testimony. My question to you is, what contradicts that?
Well, I think, again, because there were problems between her testimony and the letter, if you can't accept on certain things, you can't necessarily accept all of her testimony. So if you have problems with part of the testimony or the letter, it doesn't mean that you have to accept the other parts. If you don't find one part credible, you can also find the rest not credible.
Is this falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus?
Pardon, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with
that. Is the notion that if there's an inaccuracy or discrepancy, you can simply discard all the evidence of the witness?
Well, I think if you find parts of the
affidavit
not credible,
that she was held for 2 weeks and she was only held for 1 week, It's another thing to think that he made up this business about it being an illegal church.
Well, not
necessarily.
He could have,
but what's the indication of that?
Well, because if you find inconsistencies in part and you find it not credible, you can find that they're lying as to the whole claim.
Now, that's what's so ridiculous, because there's no testimony that's 100% accurate. So the notion that if you find it's only 99% or it's 1% inaccurate, you just throw out the whole thing, you wouldn't have any evidence. You wouldn't have any findings in cases.
Well, I think that many of the...
Witnesses are constantly exaggerate. They try to make themselves look better, or they forget things.
Well, but they do have the burden, and so if they're not specific, if they're not detailed,
no,
if they're
it's
not
one
consistent...
Thing but suppose the immigration judge had said, because... And, of course, what's absurd about it is he doesn't indicate... Or the immigration judge doesn't indicate whether she believes that it was 1 week or 2 weeks. if it was 2 weeks, then his letter is accurate, right? Then you believe the rest of his letter. No?
Well, I would go back and point out that in the original statement she said she was detained for a few days. In her testimony, she then says, well, no, it was a week. Then on cross-examination, she was questioned, and it was pointed out.
Let's just look at his letter.
Right, he says 2 weeks.
He says 2 weeks. Did the immigration judge believe it was 2 weeks?
No, I think the immigration judge had problems because of the inconsistencies.
Yes, but
could
if
not
he didn't believe
either one.
You mean it was neither 1 week nor 2 weeks?
Could not believe that it was either 1 week or 2 weeks.
Because they disagreed, you disbelieve everything both of them said. Is that the idea?
Because of the inconsistencies and omissions, could not credit her story. It was her burden, and she didn't put forth enough evidence. And if I might just briefly get to the other point I wanted to make, this argument...
Yeah, but before you get to that, I mean, in terms of this discrepancy, I mean, this was one of those discrepancies that was easily explained because she indicated that the reason there was this variance of a week to 2 weeks was because others were held the 2 weeks and she was held a week. Isn't that just easily explainable? And we certainly have case law that allows for belief in a witness when that kind of explanation can be given.
Well, I think the problem, again, is she originally starts with a few days in her statement, then it goes to a week, and then when she's questioned about it, she said, oh, no, I thought Mr. Lynn said 1 week in his statement, not two. And then she backtracks after it's pointed out, no, it's 2 weeks. Oh, well, then I'm confused. And so it seems that she's trying to match her statement to his statement, but then got confused and tripped up. And so it's reasonable for the immigration judge to find, based on that, that there was an inconsistency. Based on the other omissions, there is no statements in Mr. Lynn's affidavit or statement about being beaten, about being, you know, poked with an electrical baton, nothing of that. The other point I wanted to make before I conclude is that with regard to the argument that Ms. Lee will be tortured if she returns because she was smuggled out of the country and didn't have permission to immigrate. That claim was never made to the board in the appeal brief to the board, and therefore she failed to exhaust that claim before the board, and this court lacks jurisdiction under 8 U.S.C. 242 D1 to address that claim.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Sarko.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Yam, how much time does he have?
Yes, Your Honor. Basically, I'll address what counsel said first about the cat claim. Basically, that is an administrative record. In the appeal brief that I have already written by his attorney, and it states that the judge did not make a finding for the credibility. So, going back to the statement that he had forfeited the tuition. And that is part of the administrative record. I believe it's on page 5, which is either not. But then the next thing is that you agree with your honors is that basically, the board should have took a stand. She should have said either she was credible or she's not credible. And then the other point is that if she doesn't make a claim based on religious persecution, we should just state that why she felt it. Didn't call for explanation on that. With that said, I ask Your Honor to vacate the board's judgment and remand the case to the CIA for proceedings.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Yam, and thank you, Ms. Sarko. We'll move on to the next case, which is Juma versus Gonzalez, Mr. Mwangi.